We need a microphone. Today we're going to be talking about innovators' mindset. And I think that all of us can agree that we want to do, as educators, we want to do what's best for students, right? It doesn't matter what that looks like. I think everyone, when you meet together, you want to do what's best for kids, for your kids. These are mine. This is my boy on the left. This is my little niece who has, like, stolen my heart on the, right and left, sorry. But yeah, what's best for kids? That's what we want to do, right? So teachers are probably the most passionate professionals I've ever met in all my life. And I guess I've met lots of different professionals. You know, you go to the doctor's office, you go here, you go there, but you see teachers, they work for just a small amount of money. They work endless hours to try to prove that they can help these kids be successful after their school days. They're constantly trying to find new ways to do this and new ways to do that, and they're working endless hours to try to change the world one day at a time. Yet, when I think about the medical field, sometimes I think about the medical field, and I think about all the things that they have changed over the years. For example, they used to use leeches to, like, in ancient Europe, they used leeches to try to draw sickness out of bodies. And they used leeches from, I was looking at this up, and they used leeches from treating a fever to treating, like, the worst disease. They would just put these leeches on these bodies. But you know what? They've learned to do better, they know better, and they now do better. So I looked up some cool innovations they have in medical technology right now. They use a 3D printer right now. I have my notes. And they use it to press and print body parts. So Cornell University scientists used a 3D printer to produce an artificial ear that, according to Randy Ryland's January 2014 report, looks and works like the real thing. I know, right? We use 3D printers in the elementary school now, but I don't know that we've printed artificial ears yet. It's coming. One of our kids might be able to do that. Here's another cool one. Fingertip surgery. So this stretchable electronic sensor may replace the scalpel and other operating room tools for some surgical procedures. It lets physicians feel electronic activity and slice tissue with their fingertips. All of that to say this, that's just two. There were a million of them, but I was like, whoa, I only have 14 to 20 minutes, so we can't really talk about every single one of them. The medical field has something going that I think educators could benefit from. When they know better, they do better. And they constantly are changing their practice and tweaking it to do better, right? So this is what we're gonna talk a little bit about today. And I'd like to compare us to the medical field, because truly, we are saving lives. And truly, we are as important as those people that are doing CPR on the person not breathing, because sometimes the students come to our classroom, that is it. They are just sitting there, and it's our job to revive them, to energize them, to get them engaged into learning. We literally save lives every single day, and we're helping students to become like the future of America, right? So is it crucial for our students to think critically, challenge the status quo? These are my questions today. See multiple perspectives, make decisions, possess negotiation skills, solve complex problems, take initiative to lead, and tap into their curiosity to launch something amazing. What would you guys say to that question? Do you think that's crucial for kids today? Yes, overwhelmingly it is. And so if students leave our school less curious than they came in, then we've truly failed them. George Kuros says that so well in Innovator's Mindset. He's like, if they're leaving and they don't like school and they're less curious and they're not wanting to research and find new things, then honestly, as educators, we failed them. And that's kind of a harsh statement, but Thomas Edison says it like this: vision without execution is hallucination. So I think a lot of times as educators, I'm linking myself, we like learn all kinds of cool things. For example, these apps. I've had them on my phone for a couple weeks now. I learned some cool things, but I haven't acted on it, right? Until now. And I was like, man, I can't get up there and talk about vision without execution. If I'm not willing to try these things, I have all these great things going on in my head, but I don't necessarily want to act on it because that's a little scary. That's taking a risk. And what if I mess up? Well, what if you mess up? But what if it turns out to be something amazing? You won't know unless you try. And that's what Thomas Edison, I think, really was saying. We can learn all kinds of great things, and as educators, I think we do learn all kinds of cool things. But if we don't actually do them, we're kind of fooling ourselves, and we're depriving or we're doing an injustice to our students because they could try these things. They would probably rock these things out. They probably already know how to use Audio Boom, and they probably already use 1 second every day. All right, so the innovator's mindset. Here's what we're talking about today. George explains it like this. Belief that abilities, intelligence, and talents are developed so that they lead to the creation of new and better ideas. I'd like us to talk a little bit about new and better ideas. It doesn't mean that it's never been done before. If it's a curious, if it's a new curious combination for you, so I think about the kaleidoscope. I usually bring a kaleidoscope. But when you think about the kaleidoscope, it has all those same beads in there, right? Well, Mark Twain said there's really no new idea under the sun. He said that they're all the ideas are already out there. But what it is when we grab a hold of the turning mechanism of the kaleidoscope and we actually turn it, our curious combinations create something new and something beautiful and something amazing specific to us. So we end up taking some cool ideas, create them with the things that we already know, and make a new idea. And that's really what a new idea is in my mind. The cool thing about the kaleidoscope, and this is not my notes, I'm probably going over a tad, it doesn't automatically turn. You notice that, like the little tin kaleidoscope? You have to reach out, you have to grab it, and you have to turn it. And if you want a new combination, guess what you have to do? Reach out, grab it, turn it. So I think that's kind of a cool thing to think about, that our new ideas aren't just gonna just mysteriously pop in our head. We have to do something about it. And that's where that execution part of Thomas Edison's quote comes in. So talk a little bit about the innovator's mindset characteristics. George says that there are 8 characteristics of the innovator's mindset. 1, empathetic. 2, problem finders. 3, risk takers. 4, networked. 5, observant. 6, creators. 7, resilient. And 8, reflective. So we're just gonna kind of run through these super quick. So problem finders. I love how John Spencer and AJ Giuliani, if you guys get a chance, I'm gonna be teaching a launch session later this afternoon, 2 of them actually, and I'm gonna talk a little bit about their book. It's incredible. But one of my favorite quotes, he says, are we helping students answer questions or question answers? And that's where that innovation piece comes in. Are we helping them just always answer the right questions? Are we helping them to question answers? So be a problem finder. Be a risk taker. Like I said, I didn't want to get up here and not say that I've taken some risks. But since the summer, I met George Kuros, and I'll show you a picture of him in a minute. He really inspired me to do lots of crazy things, like start a website. I started this iMOOC, this big, huge, massive online open campus book study. There's like over 2,000 of us in 18 different countries, and we're all like putting in our input on the innovator's mindset. It's incredible how we all can read the same book and come up with different things and take different risks. So that's been really exciting. Presented at my first state conference yesterday, which was super exciting. I thought I would be like a nervous wreck. Truly, like once you love teaching, I think it doesn't really matter what your audience is. If you love sharing new ideas and you love teaching, it wasn't so scary. I almost made myself sick getting up there, but it was fine. I did my first broadcasting on the right-hand side for Innovator's Mindset, so I had like this real like studio, broadcasting studio, that was fun. This is Dave Burgess, he's the publisher of this book. I'm actually consulting right there to hopefully be an author. So, I mean, there's so many cool things that you can just jump out there and try. And the neatest thing about risk-taking, and I'm usually a risk-taker, but I've noticed that these things have taken me way outside my comfort zone. Like, my circle was pretty big, but it's like a big leap outside. But once you take one, you're like, oh, I did that. It's like contagious. You want to keep trying to take another one. what else can I do? What else could I possibly